Well, I know time is running by the sermon. I'm glad I have planned it to be a little short, but I don't know if I can preach that short. Malachi chapter 3. And I've got a person coming to give a testimony, so I'm like Michaela. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. And that's what you're seeing with J.W. and Mary Lee. No, they're not perfect, but they are children of God. And that's what makes the difference. Jesus makes the difference. Amen? All right, you got your place? It's easy to find the last book of the Old Testament, okay? Malachi chapter 3, we'll begin reading verse 8. Let's all stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired word. The faith promise. The faith promise. Will a man rob God? Is the question. Verse 8. Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have ye robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the wonders of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Father, thank you for the reading of your word, and now we ask your Holy Spirit to help us to understand it. I pray for your anointing. Thank you for every person who served in Judgment House. May the night be the best night of all. May we finish well. Thank you for the testimonies we've already heard today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. I'm going to ask Brother Johnny Miles if he will come. I'd asked Johnny yesterday to give a testimony. When he came to our church, he made a commitment to God. And then God turned right around and opened up the windows of heaven in his life. And he's got a powerful testimony. I'm going to let him share that, and then I'll share God's word.
I'll try not to take too much time. You know, every day we have decisions that we make when we get up. You know, do we go to work? Do we stay home? Do we go to church? You know, just all different things. Now, when me and Kathy first decided we were come here, we were talking about how we were going to tithe. And you can rationalize all you want. You know, you can say, hey, I got clothes I got to buy for the kids. I got to make the car payment. I got to keep the lights on. In the end, it all belongs to God. Amen. So, you know, we started coming here, and, you know, every week we'd write our tithe check out. And we'd write the tithe check out of my retirement, out of her check, out of my check. And it just didn't seem, you know, we do okay. It just, at the end of the month, it always seemed like we were shuffling bills around, trying to figure out why are we doing this? And several months ago, 3 or 4 months ago, we decided, well, let's just do this. Let's just write one check out. The very first thing, we write one check out at the start of the month, and we put it in the offering plate. Since we've done that, same amount of money, we don't have to shuffle bills around for some reason. I don't know what it is, except it's God. So, again, at the end of the day, all I can ask you guys is you got to be faithful, and you got to be obedient. You got to be obedient to God, because that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to tithe. He wants to be faithful. You don't have to worry about, you know, I wanted to go for this charity or this charity. Put it in the offering plate. Let God decide where he wants it to go. Because, again, it all belongs to God.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, brother. God bless you. Amen. What he didn't tell you is that when he started obeying God faithfully in tithing, he got a major raise.
I got hired by the hospital, and I was making 50% more salary.
Give 10% and God gives you 50. That's pretty good. Increase. Wow. Well, that's what this scripture's about. And by the way, those of you already upset with me about preaching this, then you know you need to start giving. Amen? I'll tell you, it's funny. When you start talking about money, people get upset. You know why? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And the only people that get upset about the preacher preaching about money is the folks that don't give. Now, the folks that give have no problem with it.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right. I heard this story about a $100 bill and a $20 bill and a $1 bill. They all met up at the National Shredder at the end of their life. The $100 bill said, I've been all over the whole world during my lifetime. Well, I've been on cruises in the Caribbean. Africa and vacations in Europe. The $20 bill said, well, I'm not done quite as well, but I've been to Atlantic City, I've been to Disneyland, and I've been at Starbucks. You might need $20 if you go to Starbucks. They both turned to the $1 bill and asked, how about you? The one, not wanting to be outdone, said, I've seen the whole country as well. I've been from church to church to church to church. And then the $100 bill asks, what's a church? Some of y'all got that. This is the month we celebrate Thanksgiving. And I want to share with you in the spirit of Thanksgiving, a series on giving to show our thanks. Listen to this verse, Psalm 50:14, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Someone said tithing was under the law. No, it was actually started before the law. Abraham commenced it. Jacob continued it. Moses commanded it. Malachi confirmed it. Jesus commended it. So I best not cancel it. Amen. Had a lady call me last night. Interesting. Lives in Florida. And she said, I need some counsel about our church. Said, I love our church. I'm a Sunday school teacher there. We're involved in helping people there. But the pastor's been in Genesis ever since we've been there, and we've been there for 2 years. I'd like to hear a message on tithing or something. And I thought, well, how about that? I'm preaching tithing. Guess what? We do need a balance of God's Word. We need to hear what all the Bible has to say. And this is in the Bible. It's in God's Word. We need to understand it. Let me give you a quick flavor of what's going on here in Malachi. Malachi is the last prophetic book in the Bible. God's people have just returned from exile in Babylon. And what a huge testing that was. They had rebuilt the temple, which was an amazing accomplishment. They expected God to show up in a supernatural way and fill the temple again with His Shekinah glory, but it didn't happen. And they were all getting very discouraged and disappointed because they felt like the presence of God had left them. And so here they are in Malachi, and it's interesting, God's challenge. They were saying, now, God, if you will bless us, now follow this, this is the background of this. If you will bless us, then we'll start giving. And God says, it don't work that way. It's a faith promise. You put your faith in me. You give, and then you'll see the blessing. Now, you don't give in order to get the blessing. You give because it's right and it's an obedience to the Word of God. But the Bible does promise blessings, okay? And so we think of Thanksgiving and all of God's blessings. What was happening here in chapter 2 of Malachi, they were serving the Lord very, what's the words? They were slothful. They were lazy. They were not bringing the best they had, as God said. By the way, a lot of people do that in their individual lives. They leave God the leftovers. That's what was happening here. They were bringing lame sheep. They were bringing blind sheep. They were giving their leftovers to God. And God says, all right, I'll just walk away from you. I'm afraid that's happening in America today. I'm really fearful. Do you know what? In the Bible-believing churches in America, people who say they believe the Word of God, Johnny Hunt, when he was president of the Southern Baptist Convention, made this statement, that in churches that believe the Bible, in America, only 2% is being given in our churches. Only 2%. And we wonder, God, where are you? Folks, I'm going to tell you who God is. God is a God who is not to be played with. He wants us to learn to obey Him. And God has the right to say this. I'm God and you're not. And by the way, look up here. Is He not the creator of all things? Does He not own all things? And folks, let me tell you something. What you have, it all belongs to God. Whether you're the very breath that you breathe comes from Him. Every heartbeat comes from God. You think about it. An investor, he has a right, if he invests his money wisely, to reap the benefit of investing. A person who makes wise choices in business deserves the right to gain from that business. And certainly God, who owns all things and is the creator of all things, He deserves for us to give back to His what is already His. Because it's really not ours to decide. It's His in the first place. And He could change this thing around and say, all right, you live on 10% and I'll take 90. I can already tell some folks are getting uncomfortable here this morning. I mean, think of it. Could God do that in America and say, all right, you don't want to give me the 10%, then I'll let you live on the 10 and I'll take 90. Because all things belong to God. Here's three things real quick. Number one, the thief's trial. The thief's trial. You see that in verse 8. There's a story of a minister in a small town who was having trouble with his offering collection. So one Sunday he announced from the pulpit, before we pass the collection plate, I would like to request that the person who stole the chickens from Brother Smith's hen house please refrain from giving any money to the Lord. The Lord doesn't want money from a thief. The collection plate was passed around, and for the first time in many months, everybody put something in the plate. The simple truth is, if we do not pay the tithe, God looks at us as thieves. That's what the Bible says. Will a man rob God? That's the crime. Number one, the crime. Will a man rob God is the question God is asking. The word in the Hebrew, rob, actually means take by force. And it's amazing when it comes to a dollar bill how that we'll do everything we can, even by force. I mean, there are people that are out to steal money, and there are a lot of different ways people do this. I'm telling you something, friend, something that's not rightfully earned shouldn't be yours, should it? And no one has the right to take something that belongs to someone else by force or any other way. And what I'm preaching this morning, God is saying, will a man rob God? Can God trust you with his money? All money belongs to God. Do y'all know that? Look in your wallet, okay? Look in your wallet and it tells you who it belongs to. Here's a $5 bill. In God we trust. That's what it says. Every piece of money that we have, it says in God we trust. So that means it's God's money. In America, that's how we look at it. In God we trust. Can God trust you with his money? All money belongs to God. It has his name on it. Every single piece of money reads, in God we trust. We stand in contempt in the courtroom of God himself today. We cannot be trusted with God's money if we do not give back to him. His own. He has the right, friend, to tell us what to do with our money. It's his in the first place. We say it's our money. People say when they give, well, I give my money. No, you give God's money. And by the way, you say, well, wait a minute, preacher. I work for everything I have. Well, who do you think gave you the ability to work? And who do you think gave you the job that you have? Amen? There's a lot of folks that don't have a job to work. That's the crime. Will a man rob God? Well, let's make it personal, because God takes giving personal. Here's the conviction. Verse 8, ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. God is taking this thing personally. God has given personal testimony against us if we have not given back to him what is rightfully his. God is serious about this. Here God is saying, it affects me, the way I look at you. Man, you need to take a stand in your home and say, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord and we're going to put God first. You should not put God last. You should put God first. And if you put God first, and this is why I'm preaching this, and this is something that God is really speaking to my heart about concerning all of us. Do things the way God says do it, and he will show his favor and his blessing. I'm really feeling a call in my heart. God keeps speaking to me about pouring my life into the man of this church and trying to encourage them and build them up. Because I really believe when the man take a stand for the glory of God, God's going to just bless the whole church. Because God called the man to be the spiritual leader in their home and in the church. I believe that God's really speaking to my heart about helping our deacon ministry. I've been asking myself this question for the last several months. Why do we ordain deacons? To do ministry. And if deacons did ministry, God would show his favor and his blessing over that ministry when we are out taking care of the widows and taking care of the needs of the people. And we don't have to worry about the administrative stuff or the business stuff, because we've got other committees to do that. We've been ordained to do ministry. That's why we ordain pastors and we ordain deacons to do ministry. I heard about this man, his wife, and his son who visited this particular church. And as they were driving home, Afterwards, the man started complaining about everything that happened in church. He said the music was too loud and too long. You don't usually hear that. It's usually the sermon. The sermon was too long, he said. The announcements were unclear. The building was too hot, and the people were unfriendly. Finally, the very observant son, sitting on the back seat, he came up to and sat over to, toward the front seat, and he said, "Dad, you have to admit," he had watched what his daddy had put in the offering plate, "you have to admit it wasn't a bad show for a dollar." God takes our giving personal. He's watching what we drop in the offering plate. Yeah? Remember the widow? Who was looking at what the... Did you know the widow sort of did that in a way that nobody... Because the rich people, man, they were pouring it in. You know, they wanted everybody to hear. The widow, she had less than that right there. And she just didn't want nobody really know that she did. She gave less than a penny. But Jesus was looking. And by the way, he was looking at what we did this morning, okay? I'm not trying to scare you, but he knows all things. You can't hide from God, right? And so he watched what this widow put in the offering plate, and he said, "This woman has given more than all that's in the treasury." You know, it never has to do anything with how much money you make. You may not make but a penny. But you know what? She gave her all to God. You may not make but a dollar. Kids, but if you would learn to give a dime to God, I learned this as a kid, that 90% goes further than 100% when God's in it. But when you don't give, you're saying, "God, I don't want you in my finances." I personally want God in my finances because he is the one who owns it all. He put it all together. I'd rather, listen to me carefully, I'd rather be in God's economy than in Donald Trump's economy or any other economy. I want to be in God's economy. I'm not against Donald Trump, and I'm just telling you, folks, we need to realize it's not who we vote that puts money in our pocket as far as the president. I had a man tell me years ago, he says, "Well, I'm voting so I can have more money in my pocket." And you know, it's funny how people work or how our government works and even how Donald Trump is working to say, "Hey, we're going to give you some money back. Well, we're going to change the tax base and all that." You know, there's a lot of psychology to that. When people think that they can save a little bit, they'll spend more. You know, it's funny how Americans are. But the conviction here that I want you to hear, God asked the question, "Will a man rob God?" And then he turns around and says, "And you've robbed me." He takes it personal. He says, "You have robbed me. You see that? Yet ye have robbed me." And then the curse. He says in verse 9, "Ye are cursed with a curse. Have you been tried in the courtroom of God's justice and found guilty of robbery? Many are in financial bondage." Here's the curse. "Because God has found them guilty of robbing God in his church. They remain in debt because they owe God tithes and offerings." I got a little picture to show you. Found this from a church that had it on their marquee. D-E-B-T. You see that? That's powerful. Doing everything but tithing. And if you do everything but tithe, you'll stay in debt. Yeah, that's a powerful little sign, isn't it? I thought that'd get your interest. I thought it was interesting, the name of the church. New Beginning Fellowship. Maybe today, and I'm going to challenge you. You know what? Thank God Jesus died to remove the curse. Okay? You don't have to live under that curse through the blood of Jesus. But if you will receive forgiveness, he will forgive you of your sin, and that curse can be canceled out. But you got to start doing the right thing. Amen? You got to repent and turn from your wicked way. You say, "Preacher, where in the Bible does it say that not tithing is a sin?" The Bible says, "He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin." The Bible makes it clear that we're to give back to God what is already his. Now, God could take it, much like our government. It's funny how the government works. They'll take what you owe them, whether you want to give it to them or not, right? And they can garnish your wages if you don't pay your taxes. Do you know this? If the church had done what the Bible taught from the beginning, there would never be a need for welfare. Yeah. According to Scripture, the church was supposed to help the needy. But we wouldn't obey God, so now we are burdened with this tax burden because the church didn't obey God. Church still not obeying God. The church didn't do what the Bible says to do. Therefore, the government says, well, we'll do what the church is supposed to do, and we'll just take the money. The government takes it. Now, guess what happens in the church? No one takes anything from anybody. The offering plate is passed. It's between you and God what you do. But I will tell you this, and I can't preach this if I didn't do it. I will stand before God one day, and I will give an account for what I've put in this offering plate. I will. I don't know about you, but I know I'm accountable for it. And I can't preach something that I don't do, but this old boy learned something. And one thing, I take this very personal. I've taken it so personal. I've said this, and I've did this intentionally. I said, I'm going to get my children to learn this if I can't get no church to get it. So my son, I was so proud. Now, Sherry was in shock the Sunday we went to their church because she was like, this music is wild. I'm telling you, they had strong, it was loud. It was, I didn't understand a word they were singing. It was big. It was like, my son, he's a good boy. I love you. But I'll never forget the Sunday we walked through the door, he took his debit card and swiped it. I'd never seen one of those kiosks. He's never carried cash. He don't carry cash. But he swapped it. Swiped it, whatever he did. And I've never done that. But he said, Dad, I just tithe. I'm just proud that he's tithing. You know, some people say, well, I don't like the kiosk. Well, you know what? If it works for the younger generation, let them do what they want to do. I don't really care. I'm going to still write my old check because that's the way I've always done it. But I'm going to tell you this. The fact is, I don't want my son or my daughter, I don't want to see any of my children cursed financially. I just believe, friend, that everything belongs to God. Doing everything but tithing results in debt. All right, second of all, test the tithe. And here's where I got to talk about the faith promise. All right, let's talk about the principle. The principle is this in verse 10. Bring ye all, not some, not the leftovers, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse that there may be meat. A reference is made here to the Old Testament temple. Part of the temple was the storehouse. This was an agricultural society. And so what would happen here, when they harvested, they brought the first tenth of the wheat, the corn, whatever they were raising, and they put it into the storehouse. And when the herds gave birth, they took one out of ten to the storehouse. The tithe is where you're fed at. That's where you give. You don't give your money to some other ministry. The tithe belongs to the local church. That's the storehouse here. That's the church. There's a lot of folks that question this. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus established the church, and he said this about his church concerning thieves. He said, my house is to be called a house of prayer, not a house of you've made it a den of thieves. Because we are robbing God. Now, they were selling stuff there in the temple that day, and Jesus made that statement. But the principle is still the same. Friend, you can't rob God. And you give where you are fed at. That's where you give. You go to McDonald's here after church today. Go down to McDonald's here on Ray Road, and you order yourself a double cheeseburger or whatever those, the Big Mac. Yeah, the Big Mac. And you order some fries, and you order a drink. And that's going to cost you, what, $8 or $10 or whatever. And then you say, well, now I have a burden for the Burger King. I believe if it's all right, I'm going to eat this McDonald's burger and French fries and drink, but I want my money to go to Burger King, not to McDonald's. You know what that do to look at you? He'll look at you like you are pure crazy. You've lost your freaking mind. And he'll take his Big Mac back, and you won't be able to eat it. You know, friend, I'm going to tell you, people that are fed the Word of God, they want to do what the Bible says. They believe the Bible. And I'm going to bring this principle home to you today because it comes down to whether or not you will believe. You can believe and receive, or you can doubt and do without. Will God let you suffer financially? Sure He will. If you're not willing to do anything He says, again, you don't give for the blessing. You give because it's right and you're doing what is obedient to the Word of God. But the blessings do follow because when you obey God, He promises to bless us. And that is the Bible principle. And then the prayer, and I've already got ahead of myself. He said, it's to be in my house, in my house. Jesus said it best, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Now, here's where I want to talk about the faith promise. Here's my challenge. Now, this is what the building committee decided to do. This is what the deacons decided to do. And we're trying to make the right decisions. And if you trust your leadership, then just know that they're trying to save all the money they can. Rich Yocko is over our building committee. He told the contractor, he said, we want to save every red penny we can, so let's do this on a shoestring budget. So they're trying to do the best they can. The deacons met, the finance committee met first of all with the fundraising group. What are they called, Jeff? Capital gains. They wanted $32,000 to come and talk to us about how to raise the money. And there was no promise that they could raise the money. Am I right, Jeff? They wanted $32,000. Well, guess what? I'm going to save you $32,000. What'd you say, Dale?
I said, Sam, they might
not
know how to raise their money.
Oh, yeah, they know how to raise their money. Well, guess what? Look up here. We smarter than them, because we're not going to give them $32,000. But here's what they did present to us, how they go about this. And I do agree with their way of going about it. Number one, they would come to us and ask us to pray. I agree with that. You agree with that? Jesus said, make my house a house of prayer. So to save you $32,000, I'm going to ask you, would you start praying about what God would have you to do as far as the faith promise? The faith promise is simply this. If only 60 people in our church give $20 a week, and Sherry and I, now Sherry, she got me. Women will always get you. I'll tell you, I like to die laughing. I shouldn't tell this on JW, but JW said, boy, our 50th wedding anniversary cost me a lot, preacher. He said, that woman took me for a ride. We celebrated, but she took me. He said, now we're looking at our 60th. I'll be broke. But anyway. All right. That, women know how to get you right here. So here's Sherry, and I said, all right, I'm gonna make this faith promise. I'm going to do the $20 a week. I'm going to do that. She said, well, don't that mean that I do it too? And I said, well, what do you mean you? She said, well, I've got to do the $20 too. I said, well, then that becomes $40 a week. She said, well, yeah, you can't do it as a couple. You got to do it as individuals. I said, oh, that hurts a little bit. All right. Now, I know Bernie's sitting over here saying, preacher, you've already made a faith promise, and I'll keep my faith promise. But here's the thing. We need everybody, and this is the problem we had with the first faith promise. Less than 20% of our congregation participated in it because a lot of people didn't know what's expected of them. I think I'm right in sharing this with you. If we could get, and you know what, it's not a lot, but what happens when people begin to pray together and they work together? Much can be accomplished. $20 per person in this church will pay for the mortgage of that building. Only $20. But you know what? And I'm being transparent. Didn't know I was going to be this real with you. My greatest concern is your pastor. I'm just going to be as real as I can be with you. I've been through a lot of building programs. Every church I've pastored, I've been through them. Without everybody working together, it can't be done. It will not be done. And at my first church, I'm telling you, I saw what God could do. And everybody was on board. And everybody did their part. And we never borrowed a dime from the church. I was only 19. Went to a lawyer and talked to him about how to do it. And that church built a new family life center, a new educational building, and a sanctuary. And they had zero when they started out. They had zero. My last church, we went through four building programs, and every building program we started with zero. We had no money in the building account, but we stepped out on faith, and I'll never forget that first Sunday when we announced that we were going to do this, a visitor wrote a check for $48,000. You know what? We underestimate what God can do through people. And it may not be that God uses, by the way, God don't have to use you. If you don't want to participate, God can get somebody else to participate, amen? But I'll tell you what, how can you as a church, bless your heart, believe God and pray and not do nothing? You say, well, preacher, I can't put but a penny in. Well, that's something, amen? I mean, you might be like the widow. You know what? I'm going to say it like it is. Some of the hardest people to give sometimes are the people who say, well, I have nothing to give. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Everybody has something to give. You say, well, just let the folks that's got the money. In fact, they're even harder sometimes to get them to give. The key is this. It is a spiritual commitment, and it happens through talking to God. Prayer works. Prayer is the key to what the faith promise is all about. So to save you $32,000, just start praying about this. And here's the next thing, the promise. He says in verse 10, and I can look. There's some people looking at me like, okay, preacher, move on. The promise. And prove me. I'm going to smile at you. I love you. And prove me now wherewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the wonders of heaven. Now, the wonders here means floodgates in the original language. God has given, 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 given. And God makes the first faith promise. He says, try me. Prove me if I will not open up the wonders of heaven. Now, I don't know what this is Dana's little girl. So during worship, she comes up, gives me a big hug, which I love that. Where's she at? She's gone. Children's church. But you know what that looks like to me? She drew a wonder. That's what that looks like to me, Dana, a wonder. And out here is all the blessings of God that he pours out on us. Amen. Now, she just did that. She didn't know I was going to preach, but that's all she did. By the way, sometimes out of the mouths of babes, a little child draws what looks like a wonder, like a church wonder. And look at all, you say, preacher, that's a bunch of scribble. No, that's a lot of blessings. And by the way, that blessed me that she came up. And boy, when she hugged me, Dana, she put a hug on me. I'm going to tell you what God wants to do. He wants to put his hand of blessing on your life. Now, hear me. I heard this story about this little boy. He was really not shy, but he went into this big candy store. And the owner of the candy store was very generous to little children. And so he told the little child, said, now reach in there and you get all the candy you want. I'm going to give you everything that your hand can hold. And the little boy sort of held back and he was shy. And he never did reach in the candy jar. And his mother was sort of upset at him because she thought he was being rude. So the man reached in and he grabbed the biggest thing of candy he could get out of that candy jar and gave it to the boy. They went outside and the mother asked the son, said, son, you embarrassed me in there. That man was so nice. He invited you to reach in and grab all the candy you could. He said, well, mommy, I thought about it. His hand is a lot bigger than my hand and I get a lot more if he reached in. Let me tell you something, friend. You'll get a lot more if God reaches into your finances. Hello? Anybody out there this morning? Y'all following what I'm saying? About to have a spell. Glory to God. When God reaches in there, woo, he just grabs it all up. What God can do. I tell you, we are just settling for a little bit when God can do a whole lot more than what we're seeing. Amen. I get excited about because I serve a big God. Amen. And he's got a big hand. Amen. He's got a huge hand, and let him reach down into your life and look what, and he has already made the promise. God says, I've given before and I'll give again. You can't outgive what God can give. Amen. Woo! Test me, he's saying. You know what he's saying? Test me and see if I am God. So I think I'm right and at liberty to preach this today. Here's what I'm challenging you to do. I know we got to go, but here's the challenge. On the last Sunday, which is the Sunday after Thanksgiving, I know they call it Black Friday, that Friday, but that's Sunday. I'm going to ask our church to test God. I'm calling it test the tithe. I'm asking you to do two things. I'm willing to do it. Put your tithe in the offering plate on test the tithe Sunday. And write in a building fund envelope or any kind of envelope you write, over and above your tithe, your $20. And just see what God will do. In other words, if everybody participated, it would be a good test to see what this would look like in our church. You say, well, what will it go for? Well, the building fund money will go toward the building. The tithe will go toward taking care of the ministry of the church. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of ministry done here. Do you know we pay over $1,000 just to pay for the license to do Judgment House? Do you know we pay about $10,000 a year just to pay the utilities? There's a lot of things. And by the way, you say, well, preacher, we pay you. You know what? I wasn't going to say this, but I was doing some figuring. And I'm like, Johnny, I was doing some figuring. And I've thought how good God has been to Sherry and I. And Sherry takes home about $900 a month. And I watch what she does. She gives to the church. She tithes. She gives above. She gives the missionaries. And and she always tells me this. She said, it don't make sense on paper, Johnny. It never makes sense. It never makes sense because, let me tell you something. God is a God who you will never make sense with. But I'm going to tell you something. He will bless our obedience. He will honor that. And I want to encourage you. Now, I'm about done here. Notice the protection he says, I'll give you. Look at verse 11. This is a powerful verse. And I will. And when God says he will do something, he'll do it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord. The promise is that I will keep the devil out of your finances. I'll keep the devil out of your pocketbook. 90% of God-blessed money goes further than 100% of devil-infested money. And I'm done. Listen, this is the last point, and that is thankful to tithe. I'm just thankful that I can give. How about you, church? I mean, what's the alternative? Would it be better not to have a job and not have an income and not give, or to have a job and have an income and to be able to give? I'm thankful to tithe. Notice what he says in verse 12, the blessed. I want to be a part of the blessed. He says, and all nations shall call you blessed. Look at verse 10. And I will pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, I've preached all this to say God does not need our money, but we most certainly need God's blessings in our life. You say, well, why don't God need your money? Because God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills too. He owns it all. God doesn't need our money. He wants our lives surrendered totally to him. And do you know when your heart is right with God, you will give? And you know what I really like preaching? I don't like preaching about giving. This is the way I like to preach it. Get your heart right, and the giving will follow. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I don't believe we should tithe for God to bless us, but I do believe we should tithe because it's right, and God's promise is that he will bless us. And then he says, the bountiful. In other words, for ye shall be a delightsome land. You see it in verse 12. America has been a bountiful land. God is abundant in all that he does. God did not hold back his only begotten son from you. Why should he not give you all things? Here's a verse. You might want to write this down. Claim it for your own life. Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who shall be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Did y'all hear that last part? He said, with Jesus, he says, with him also freely give us all things. Last thing, and I'm done. I believe this is a home run right here. I believe God gave me this word to give to you. It's only for the believer. You got to believe God. Listen to what he said. Saith the Lord of hosts. Now, I went to the trouble to look it up. I want to give it to you. The Lord of hosts. The word Lord in the Hebrew is the word Yahweh. Do you know what Yahweh means? The self-existing one. God doesn't need you and I to exist, but we need him to exist. Hold your breath for 30 minutes. You can't live without God. Amen? You can't make money without God. But I will say this. If you will believe his word, take him at his word. God cannot lie. How can you trust Jesus to be your Savior and not trust him, be the Lord of your life, the Lord over your finances? Notice the word Lord is capitalized. Do you know why? Because it talks about that God, who is the God of the universe, he owns all things, that his name, Jehovah Yahweh, means he's self-existing. He is self-supporting. We don't look at God and say, poor old God, we need to help you out some. You're on welfare. No, God looks at us. He says, you need me. Folks, I need the Lord. What about you? A very wealthy church member, after inviting his pastor and wife over for Sunday lunch, asked the pastor, would he take a walk through all that he owned? They walked across the fertile fields ripe with grain, through beautiful fruit orchards, and they admired hundreds of heads of cattle, fine cattle. The wealthy church member asked his pastor, "Do you mean to tell me these things do not belong to me?" The pastor replied by saying, "Sir, ask me that question in 100 years from now." Mark 8:36. "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul?" Look up here, folks. I'm going to tell you why all things belong to God. You came in this world with nothing. You're leaving with nothing. Money is not going to be... I've preached hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of funerals, but I've not seen a U-Haul trailer behind any hearse yet. You're not going to take it with you. Be wise, be wise, be wise. Honor God first. And he said the 90% will go further than 100%. I'm done. You can believe it and receive it, or you can doubt it and do without it. It's up to you. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And the rest of you, you say, "Well, preacher, you and Miss Sherry are going to build this building?" Nope. But God is. You say, "Well, I don't want to see it done." Well, if God wants to see it done, whether we vote, and we ought to have, or we decide, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Amen. Amen. And so what about you as an individual? Do you want to see God do something in your life? You're without a Savior today. Let me tell you something. God gave His Son for you. And if He gave His Son for you, He don't mind taking care of your whole life. We're going to sing an old song, and I know time's going by today. We've done a lot today, but it's been a good day in God's house. Can I get an amen? Amen. Night's the last night of Judgment House. And by the way, if I had time to preach all of Malachi, your service is giving too, okay? And that's something that Malachi chapter 2 says, don't withhold your service from me. Amen. Don't withhold. Thank you, church, for how you do give yourself. This is a very giving church. People, and there are people that maybe they don't have money to put in offer plate, but they can give in other ways. So I do acknowledge that. But let's just be faithful to put God first. I love this song. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Let's pray for that. Father, you are a way-making God. You made a way for us sinners to be saved. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." God, we give this invitation today, not because of anything I've done or said, but because of Jesus who made the way. And God, you will make a way. You will make a way through the hardest of times if we will trust and believe you. You've trusted us. God, I pray that we'll trust you. And your promise is, your faith promises this, you will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing more than we're able to receive. God, you did it with the feeding of the 5,000. You did it in so many other ways, God, with the disciples. When they threw their net on the other side, they brought in more fish than they could put in the boat. God, that's who you are. You're a way-making God. If there's someone today that don't know you as Savior, I pray that they'll know that you made a way all the way to Calvary and that they can be saved. This is your invitation. It does come down to this: will we believe? And I believe in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.